Hey everyone, it's Sam Okus, Editor-in-Chief of NRN and your Extra Serving co-host. This is a very special episode of Extra Serving. It's part of a series we're running through the month of April called Get to Know a Nonprofit. We've been thrilled over the years to support a number of nonprofit organizations that either benefit members of the restaurant industry or actively work through the restaurant industry to benefit others. We believe this work is essential to making our world and our industry a better place, but we wanted to go deeper with these organizations and let them share more about their mission and how restaurant operators can get involved. Doing good for your community and for your team is table stakes in the hospitality industry, but it can be overwhelming to know which nonprofits are the right fit for your brand and how to activate the partnership at the store level. With this bonus podcast series, Get to Know a Nonprofit, which is running through again the month of April, we hope you can be educated and inspired to find a way to make a difference for your community. Last week, we shared a look at Share Our Strength and its No Kid Hungry campaign. This week, I am excited to shine a spotlight on Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, the largest independent charity dedicated to childhood cancer research and family support in the U.S. Now, if you know me, you will know that this foundation is personal. In 2019, my son Jude was diagnosed with retinoblastoma, a cancer of the retina, when he was just 9 months old. Jude underwent 3 years of chemotherapy, radiation, and laser therapy before having his eye removed and replaced with a prosthetic in 2022. I'm happy to say that today, Jude is cancer-free and a very rambunctious six-year-old. But if it weren't for the innovative treatments that he received at Duke Children's Hospital and Cincinnati Children's Hospital, it may have been a different story. That's where Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation comes in. The foundation has raised more than $300 million since it was founded in 2005, funding more than 1,500 cutting-edge research projects at nearly 150 institutions in North America and Europe. This research ensures that the 400,000 kids who develop childhood cancer every year around the world have an opportunity like Jude to live a cancer-free life. Of course, Alex's is nothing without Alex herself. Alex Scott was diagnosed with neuroblastoma before she turned one. And when she was four, she set up a lemonade stand in her front yard to raise money for cancer research and raised over $2,000. When Alex passed away in 2004 at the age of eight, she had already raised more than $1 million toward that mission, and her parents, Liz and Jay Scott, launched the foundation shortly afterward to carry the torch for Alex, using lemonade stands as a focal point to raise funds and awareness in the fight against childhood cancer. Liz Scott joined me on the podcast to share more about Alex, the foundation, and how restaurants in particular are the perfect partners to support Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. I have seen the impact of this foundation firsthand, and my family has experienced the joy of participating in an Alex's restaurant activation, and I am excited for you to learn more about this very special nonprofit. Enjoy the conversation. Okay, I'm sitting down with Liz Scott, the co-executive director of Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation and the mother of the founder, Alex, of this organization. Liz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Sam. So excited to be here.
Liz, my audience knows by now this organization is very near and dear to me because it touches me personally. My son is a childhood cancer survivor, and it has been an absolute pleasure to be connected to Alex's and get to know this organization and participate in it. And I wanted you to come on and tell the story of this foundation and its impact. And obviously, this all has to go back and start with Alex. So let's start there. Tell me about Alex, your daughter, and how this organization got started.
I would love to. So my daughter, Alex, was diagnosed as an infant with neuroblastoma, which is the most common infant cancer. She essentially went on to fight cancer the rest of her life for 7.5 years, which is pretty remarkable in and of itself. She passed away when she was 8.5. But by the time she passed away, she had created what is now Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, because when she was 4 years old, she told us she was going to have a lemonade stand. And, you know, we put her off as parents can do. We had two other young children at the time. It was really cold. It was January when she started talking about it. We lived in Connecticut at the time. So for months, she persisted. Finally, one day she asked again. Now it's June. This is way back in 2000, so 25 years ago. she said, "We still haven't had my lemonade stand." And I said, "What do you want to buy, Alex?" And she said, "I'm not keeping the money. I'm giving it to my doctor so they can help kids the way they've helped me." And I like to share that story, one, because it truly did come from her. It's hard to believe because she was only four, but you have to imagine how much she'd been through in her life already. She was no typical four-year-old. And also because it was really out of gratitude from her experience, knowing that thing, you know, we were trying different things. We were trying brand new treatments that she had benefited from some of them. And that was the beginning. She raised $2,000 that day, blew away any expectation I had of what she could do. And in her lifetime, she went on to inspire other people to join the movement, to create their own lemonade stands, to help her raise $1 million. That was her goal before she passed away. And I'm just so grateful to her because in that time, she also really made us commit to funding all types of pediatric cancer research. So the impact we've been able to have is way beyond anything that I could have imagined when I wanted to fund like her hospital here in Philadelphia for her type of cancer research. She wanted to make sure all kids, like your son, right, had the chance. It didn't matter what kind of cancer. Like she said, all kids want their cancer to go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's remarkable. And you guys have created something so beautiful out of such a difficult and tragic experience in your life. Tell me about then getting this foundation started, because clearly that struck a nerve for you. And you've gone on to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. So tell me about the early days of starting this foundation and kind of getting it up off the ground.
After Alex passed away, we really thought that was the end of her lemonade stand. She reached her goal. The news widely covered the story of the little girl trying to raise $1 million with a lemonade stand. They widely covered her passing. And we were surprised and once again inspired by people who said they were going to continue supporting. And we had companies even who said they wanted to continue to help kind of keep this going. But really, it was the families whose children were fighting cancer who we were constantly hearing from saying, "Alex gave us a voice as a community. Alex gave us a reason to feel hopeful and to see how people care and that we can do something." And a lot of families started setting up their own lemonade stands across the country. So we decided we had an opportunity, and everything we were going through and the pain we were going through, and we have three other children that they were going through, to make things different for families in the future who would walk that path and be able to promise them cures that Alex didn't have and that she wanted so badly to have. And that allowed us to just kind of put one foot in front of the other and continue encouraging people to have lemonade stands. And that has extended now to many different corporate partners, but it's also families in the front yard. It's childhood cancer families. It's families who just hear about it and sign their kids up at schools. All of us working together to make a difference. And that has allowed us to raise well over $300 million. And we're now the largest independent funder of pediatric cancer research in the U.S. outside the federal government.
That's amazing. That is just so incredible. And you know, when you, as you and your family experienced, our family experience, when you get that diagnosis, it feels obviously overwhelming. The word cancer is terrifying, and especially for your child. And, you know, everybody can agree. We want to provide solutions for kids with cancer. We want to provide, the best opportunity for them to live a normal life. But maybe that people don't understand the scope of the problem here, because you're raising money, but what for? What's the problem? What is it that you guys are really specifically trying to tackle here?
So the biggest problem, honestly, is there's not enough research going into finding cures for children with cancer. And that's a very simple way to state a very complicated problem. One big aspect of it is there's not enough funding. So that's why there's not enough research going on. That's what drives all of the research in this country. Also, childhood cancer is the number one disease killer of children in the country. However, there are over 20 different types of pediatric cancer. So each of them as a disease, which they are unique in the way they're treated, is a separate disease. So it's also a lot of rare diseases. Right? So finding cures for rare diseases has always been difficult. And it also makes it very much less appealing to the private sector, because there's not going to be a blockbuster drug to cure children with cancer. There could be incredible discoveries and cures made, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't work in a for-profit model, really. So that's where foundations like ours come in. We look at the gaps. Innovative science is hard to fund. There's not enough researchers studying it, or there weren't, but we funded over 300 young investigators over the years, giving them their first grant, getting them interested in pediatric cancer research. Innovative research, like I said, it's hard to fund. Clinical trials are notoriously difficult to fund. We do that. We also fund sort of that gap between the lab, they call it the translational part, and getting it into a clinical trial. We challenge the community with large grants to work together. That's another big thing that we saw was a need. You know, we want them to collaborate. So we give out these $5 million grants to bring the best people in the world together to try to solve one of these incurable cancers. And then layered over that is the fact that we have increased survivorship, but the cures for children still come at extremely high cost to their long-term health from the treatments, for the most part. It's the treatments that are causing all of these long-term side effects. More than 90% of children who survive cancer will have a long-term side effect. And those can range from another cancer to heart problems, kidney problems, hearing problems, learning difficulties, psychological impact it has, not just on the kids, but on the whole family. So it's a huge problem. And that's a long way of saying that's what the money is for. We're trying to solve these problems, and we're having some success so far, which is just fueling us to try to do more in the future.
Yeah. And I know you guys recently put out the goal to increase the survival rate from 85% to 90%, which may not seem like much, but to consider the many, many thousands of kids who are diagnosed with childhood cancer every year, that is enormous. And for every family that faces that diagnosis, obviously, to have a better prognosis, to have that opportunity to not only survive, but thrive, and to put a face on it. You know, we got the most incredible care from Duke Children's Hospital and then Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And some of the things they were doing for Jude, my son, some of the treatments he received, I couldn't believe existed because of how fancy and technical and just kind of blew my mind. And I knew that we were getting the best care, but that stuff costs money. And so I want to get into this part of it, because here we are, obviously this is a restaurant podcast. And the point of having you on here is to talk about how restaurants can get involved, because obviously the big thing here is the need for money to fund research, to fund these cures for these doctors that I was able to have for my son, that Alex received the care that she had. And you guys have some great corporate partnerships. My first connection originally, many, many years ago, when I first heard about Alex's, was through two Philadelphia-based organizations, which was Auntie Anne's and Rita's. And then later on, was very happy to get put in touch through my friends at Firebird's Wood-Fired Grill out of Charlotte. Applebee's is another corporate partner. Tell me about how restaurants can engage with Alex's and participate in this fight.
So you mentioned four great national brands that are partnering with us. We also have regional restaurants. You know, there's one here in Philadelphia, Nifty 50s. They've been supporting us for years in their restaurants. So you don't need to be, you know, an Applebee's or an Auntie Anne's to have a huge, huge impact on our cause. And the ways we engage with restaurants, I mean, we love working with restaurants because I always say lemonade is our middle name. So there's so much there we can do. So I would say a great place to start is lemonade stands. Many, if not all, restaurants have lemonade on their menu. It's relatively easy for a restaurant compared to other businesses to set up a lemonade stand. It's a great talking point for staff. Some of our partners and our restaurant partners let their employees bring their kids to work that day. So, or they ask them to just volunteer and come in and do it. But they allow them to bring their kids and have their kids help out at the stand, which again, just kind of brings that moment to a family of like, wow, this is really cool what my parents do every day at work. They get, you know, what they get to kind of behind the scenes, a lemonade stand. If you have lemonade on the menu, very simple way to say they're going to donate all of the proceeds for a period of time. We're going to donate some of the proceeds. Firebirds is a great example. They give $1.25 now from every one of their lemonades all year long. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind is, and I know it's tough in restaurant business, right? We recognize that. So we're always working with restaurants to try to figure out how to make it work. And I think lemonade is a good example. You don't necessarily need to take a dollar or 50 cents out of your bottom line. You can raise the price a little. And because it's going to charity, that extra dollar, every study has shown that people will pay a little bit more when it's going to charity. So there's really creative ways we can help companies. And then, of course, asking at the register is, or, you know, asking customers in some way, rounding up or asking to donate is a phenomenal way to really get scale to fundraising, because you can imagine you're amplifying from however many restaurants you have to every single customer who comes through those doors for the period of time you're doing that. And we all know, we're all familiar with that concept and how much the power of that dollar times, you know, 100,000 people who might come through the doors, or 10,000 people, and how that adds up over time. We are not cookie cutter. I always like to point that out. Every one of those companies you mentioned, we do something different with. We don't have minimum fundraising. We don't require a lot other than to join the team, be part of wanting to make a difference for kids with cancer, and really just approach it with your heart in the right place. And I think incredible things happen when we do that together.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you mentioned the lemonade stand. My family participated in the one with Firebirds last summer during June, which is Lemonade Days, which is a special month you guys have where you really concentrate a lot of effort on hosting a lemonade stand. My family's going to host a lemonade stand this summer, this June.
Thank you.
We're very excited for
that.
It's
so fun.
It's so fun. And that's a great, you know, plug too for truly the fun of it. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, it is genuinely fun. And for if you have kids, or if you're a kid-friendly restaurant, I mean, this is just it's a slam dunk no-brainer. Every kid loves lemonade. It's what my kids always get on the menu at every restaurant. And to have a lemonade stand is entrepreneurial. It teaches them great lessons, but obviously it's for great cause. We're going to get all of our kids' friends here in the neighborhood involved. And it's just a fun thing to engage with that restaurants are just kind of tailor-made to be able to do that. So Lemonade Days in June, obviously a great opportunity for that. But you also have other programs throughout the year. Can you highlight just a couple of the other programs that you guys do that specifically, you know, recruit some help like restaurants to come be a part of?
Lemonade Days, lemonade stands any time of year. We also have an event in September, which is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, called the Million Mile. And we recruit, and companies are a big part of that, especially companies with multiple locations, or even like a lot of different levels of workers. Like maybe there's warehouse workers, people who work in a distribution center, people who work in the corporate office, people who work in a restaurant, to bring them together because it's a virtual event. We've been doing it a long time before people knew what virtual was. And you sign up as a team or multiple teams if you want to compete. And you basically say, I'm going to track my steps, whether I'm walking, running, just doing my daily errands every day, walking around my restaurant, and I'm going to put those into the website. But it's also a talking point to ask your friends to give, your family to give. Some restaurants and companies do like a little incentive for the employees to actually log their steps, whether it's a match or something. It's a really great team building activity. And we've had like Aldi Supermarkets is a partner of ours, and they have done Million Mile, and they have been absolutely thrilled with how they are able to engage workers in all different types of locations, warehouse workers, supermarket workers, people who work in the home office, really get excited about the fact that they can participate in something together as a company. It means a lot to them.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because, you know, with nonprofit partnerships, philanthropic, charitable giving, obviously companies, I think, generally know this is the right thing to do. But, you know, just to really emphasize that when you develop a partnership with a charity, with a nonprofit, it extends beyond just the feel good, doing the right thing. There's genuine, you know, return on that investment, so to speak. And I think culture is a big one where, to your point, Liz, when you get your team involved in something, it is a great way to kind of rally your team as a family, as a team, truly. Tell me a little bit more about how Alex's can really improve the culture within some of the, you know, partners, the groups that you have supporting the organization.
I think the, you know, Alex's story herself is really inspiring. So you automatically sort of have a built-in faith, right? And a built-in motivator. I would say that the most important thing we do when we onboard new partners is we do want to learn about all your different types of employees, where they might be located, what their jobs are like. and try to figure out a way that we can reach them. So we'll do things like kickoff calls, right? Where I might get on a virtual call and we might have the whole company. We might have managers from restaurants on. We talk about annual conferences, if you have one, where I could come or a child of cancer family could come like yours and share their story and connect people. We talk about materials we can send. So, and keeping in mind, again, like we never, it's not, it doesn't cost any money to hold the lemonade stand. We don't charge for Million Mile. These are all ways you can encourage employees to get involved with no barriers, right? And that's really important. We want to make it easy. And when you do that, people want to help, right? They want to feel good about being a part of a company that is doing good things. And if you're doing philanthropy, and it's wonderful to like write a check or to kind of take it up from a corporate level, but the real power is in allowing every employee there to know that they can be part of this and to feel really good about the fact that they work at a company that is doing this. And that's where you'll see the culture improvement. I can't tell you how many of our restaurant partners I've met, managers or people who work in the restaurants, and I thank them and they say, oh my gosh, it's my favorite weekend of the year, or it's my favorite month of the year. That's what it means to them, right? We have a restaurant partner in Applebee's that the manager and I think the kitchen manager, they repaint the entire front of the restaurant yellow. Every single thing is painted yellow so that when people walk in, they know it's happening. And then they repaint the entire thing the way it's supposed to be. I'm not saying I recommend that. I can't believe they get away with it. But
yeah,
it just shows you the level of buy-in. Right? Mm-hmm. That's at the store level, that they're taking their time. They're coming in off hours to paint this so that they can make sure that everybody who walks into that restaurant and every employee, it's top of mind for those 6 weeks that we're doing something to support a charity.
Yeah.
It's really incredible when you empower people to do something like that.
Yeah. And we had the privilege of attending the Lemon Ball this year in January in Philadelphia, our family, and to see that all of the various partners, restaurant and non-restaurant, who were there, and to experience what was such a cool moment of just feeling, you know, that sort of camaraderie, I guess, that everybody's coming together for this big goal, but this very achievable goal. And in some, you know, it's obviously recognizing the successes, celebrating the wins. And to that end, you know, my last question for you, Liz, is around legacy and future. And obviously in 25 years, you guys have accomplished so, so much to honor Alex and her legacy and her memory and the thousands, if not millions, of children who will be impacted by this. What do you envision for the future? What is the goal here? What do you hope to accomplish further on in the years ahead?
So we've thought a lot about this. I mean, number one is we have to figure out how to cure incurable pediatric cancers. And we have to figure out a way to provide all cures to kids with cancer in a way that's less toxic and harmful to their fast-growing bodies. That's number one priority. Their bodies are fast growing. The cells are fast growing. Chemotherapy, radiation therapy are designed to kill fast growing cells. So that's why there's so many side effects. We need, and everything we're studying is a better way. We're not trying to find a new chemotherapy or radiation therapy. We're really trying to find immunotherapies and biological therapies and truly targeted therapies that are going to kill the cancer without all the collateral damage. That's number one. Number two is there's so much work to be done for survivors still. You have a survivor. You're just beginning on that, right? There are gaps in survivorship care and knowledge. We want to make sure we can fill those as we're getting more survivors. We also have some family services programs, families that are under immense stress in every way you can imagine while their child is fighting cancer. We have some programs to address that now. We want to make sure we can not only expand those, but add new programs as we see gaps to meet the needs of families. And lastly, you know, I always say this and it's kind of cliche, but I have to say it. We truly hope that we can put ourselves out of business.
Yeah.
Like that is the goal, right? Alex started something and we are very fortunate as a community to continue it. But the ultimate goal is to make childhood cancer a curable disease that doesn't have the long-term side effects and be able to say, yeah, we did it. Our work is done. And that is achievable. It's just going to take some time and some funding and some really, really smart people working on the problem.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, and I lied. I have one more question for you, which is the most important for those who are listening who want to get involved. How can they get involved with Alex's?
Well, they can go to our website and see, learn more, Alex's Lemonade. There's a lot on there. If they want a more direct source, they can definitely just contact me directly. We have a team of people, you know, who work with our partners, but I always love being involved. And that's Liz at Alex's Lemonade. It's just like our website, stick a Liz in front of it or send a contact through the website and we can talk. You can learn more. You know, we always are just open to a conversation. If it doesn't lead to something right now, something might come up down the road where there's an opportunity to work together.
I will be sure to put those details in the show notes. So anybody who's listening and wants to get Liz's email or the website, we'll put those in the show notes so everybody can access Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation and get involved. Liz Scott, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.